Hello, Stuart.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, Stuart? How are you?
Well, put it this way, Tom. I recently went along to a loneliness support group.
Oh, and well, how was that?
Well, I was the only one that turned up.
Terrible joke. We were scraping the barrel this week.
Yeah, trying to come up with something for the start of the episode. But it is an episode about the loneliness epidemic. Yeah, loneliness. Yeah. And whether loneliness is an epidemic and what that even means, and all of the research and the scientific studies behind that. So welcome to The Study Show. This is the podcast where Tom and I discuss some kind of controversial scientific issue every week. This week it's loneliness. And if you want to become a subscriber, you can go to www.thestudyshowpod.com. And if you want to become a paid subscriber,
please do.
You can sign up on that same website, and you can get access to all our controversial, our most controversial episodes, which we put behind the paywall in a very cowardly fashion. Isn't that right, Tom?
It is indeed. And thank you to the many of you who signed up for last week's episode about the Cass review, which we've had loads of really, really kind feedback on and seems to have gone down well. So
yeah, I think people thought it was a balanced discussion. So let's try and continue with that sort of thing. Now, another thing to say is that we haven't mentioned this for a while, so please do leave us a review on places like Apple Podcasts. I think we're at 4.8 stars on there currently.
Pretty good. I'm very pleased at that.
And if you've got a friend who might be interested in the kind of stuff we talk about, then please do share the link to the podcast in a group chat or whatever is the best way to get it to them. Now, talking about friends and whether you may or may not have any friends, let's talk about loneliness.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of it about these days.
Yeah. An epidemic, you could say.
You could indeed say an epidemic. And not only that, Stuart, many people do say that.
Right? Yes.
So the US Surgeon General last year, who you'd think would be a bit of an authority on the matter, I don't know why I say that.
Well, he's the top US medical person.
Yes. So I suppose he's a person. I'm not implying that he's particularly lonely, but I'm implying that he should know about the sort of research and stuff.
Yes.
He said last year that the loneliness epidemic is on a par with smoking and obesity as a cause of public ill health, which is a hell of a claim.
I have to say, that's not a claim that's unique to him. I think I've heard that claim in quite a few places, the idea that loneliness and smoking are somehow on a par with each other.
Yeah. He's launched a World Health Organization commission to deal with it. He's released this advisory last year, and it's called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation on the Healing Effects of Social Connection and Community. He'd already declared, I feel I should be a little bit cautious, because the US Surgeon General declared in 2018, it may not have been the same one, that there was a loneliness epidemic.
Yeah, I think it was a different Surgeon General at that point. I could be wrong, but
under a different president, I think it was probably different. And he's certainly not the first person to worry about it. I know this is always a bit of a cheap way of saying, isn't this a big deal? But if you Google for loneliness epidemic in Google with quotes, you get 500,000 hits. And if you Google epidemic of loneliness in quotes, you get 250,000. I know it's always a bit meaningless, but it's an indicator of a lot of things.
There are a lot of references to that on the internet, to the loneliness epidemic.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. In 2018, it's not just the US, the 2018, the UK appointed a loneliness minister.
Which, do we still have a loneliness minister?
I feel like that was maybe
a short-lived position. I don't think.
Yeah.
Or it might be part of a portfolio of another minister.
At the time, I made this very funny joke about, because it was during when Theresa May was basically completely politically isolated, and I said made a hilarious joke about how she probably spends a lot of time in Number 10, looking after Theresa. But
I mean, I'm sure that was funny in 2018.
It was funny in 2018, but unfortunately now it's 6 years later, and I have to explain the joke to you. Nonetheless, I was very proud at the time.
Not so good.
Yeah. Exactly. And you get. Endless. I mean, I just picked a pretty random selection of news stories about it, but from this year, NPR, America has a loneliness epidemic. Here are six steps to address it. BBC, how should we tackle the loneliness epidemic? New York Times, how loneliness is tearing America apart, from 2018. From 2022, how loneliness is damaging our health. Science the other day, can science find a way to ease loneliness?
Science the journal.
Yes, not just science, the sort of abstract noun.
But like, they That's a very reliable, that's not just like a newspaper or something. That's supposed to be a more reliable source.
I mean, I don't know whether they, you know, it's not that I'm saying that loneliness doesn't exist. So maybe science isn't being quite so.
Although we maybe get to a loneliness epidemic, we do think that the emotion of loneliness does exist.
Yes. Yeah. We will allow that. But the really crucial thing, right, is that people say the sort of figure that goes around, or the claim that goes around an awful lot, is that loneliness is as deadly as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's everywhere. The London Times the other week ran that statistic. But then the 2017 Joe Cox report, which was named after the murdered British MP, who was very interested in sort of loneliness and social connection. So there was a report done in her name looking into loneliness and so on. It cites as a fact that loneliness is as deadly as 15 cigarettes a day. Almost every media report says this. And in a way, although there's some caveats about this that I'll come back to, the United States Surgeon General's report says the same thing. So we probably ought to look into it, I think. Yeah. I think we should look into it.
It's a when you take a step back, there's a massive, massive claim. And it turns out that there's more reasonable readings of the claim, and then there's like absurd readings of the claim. And so I think we can kind of try and cover both of those.
Exactly. So I think we can break the whole story of the loneliness epidemic down into two main claims.
Right.
And one is what's implied by the word epidemic itself, right? When you describe something as an epidemic, normally you mean that it's a disease that has suddenly spread, or by an analogy, a problem that suddenly and rapidly increased in prevalence. I mean,
COVID,
yes, was an epidemic.
AIDS.
Yes.
Swine
flu in 2009.
Bird flu.
Yeah, these things. I'm sure there have been bird flu epidemics.
And there may even have been bird flu pandemics, maybe.
Yeah, there was certainly a swine flu pandemic in 2009 thereabouts. I forget which ones are swine and which ones are birds. Which one is the ones that fly?
I've heard that pigs can sometimes.
Well, exactly. Yes. Yeah. You'd call like COVID an epidemic, and eventually it became a pandemic. But you wouldn't describe like chickenpox, which is common and not good for you, but it's around all the time. But its prevalence is broadly stable. It's not like undergoing a sudden chickenpox epidemic or whatever.
I suppose you might have isolated epidemics of it, like it spreads through a particular group of people. And does that count as an epidemic? I mean,
I guess if there's a sudden outbreak in a particular nursing home or something like that. I don't know why nursing home is probably not appropriate, but you know.
Nursery probably would be more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. People talk about the obesity epidemic, but again, I mean, what's going on there really is that not that many people were obese in 1970, and now loads of people are. And so relatively suddenly, you know, by the standards of these things, it's become much more prevalent.
So just to be clear, an epidemic does or doesn't have to be a contagious disease. Like clearly when we're talking about the obesity epidemic, that's not a contagious disease. Whereas if we talk about, you know, the COVID epidemic or pandemic, then that is contagious. And I suppose if you go back to the start of epidemiology as a science, it was things like cholera, which is that spread through water, but not from person to person.
Well, it is. It's spread through.
Well, yeah.
Fecal oral transmission.
Fecal oral, but it's not. People, I mean, it's not like you can't touching you cough other. In someone's face or something, and then they get.
No, but it's still like I think it's you'd still measure it in the same way of like one.
Right, it's still a contagious disease, but loneliness and obesity are not. And then. So, is it just about the fact that there's an upsurge in cases then? Is that what we now mean by the word epidemic?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I sort of feel that my sort of feeling would be that in the case of the obesity epidemic, it's sort of being used in something of a metaphorical way.
Right. It's metaphorical epidemic.
Yeah, where it's a problem that suddenly got really bad, where you might say there's an epidemic of bad drivers these days or something, you know, but it's a somewhat more it's on the borderline between metaphorical and direct and literal use of the term.
The teen depression caused by smartphones, Tom.
Well, exactly, which we've talked about at length, yes, exactly. So I think what's important then, you know, whether or not we're using it metaphorically or literally, the claim is clearly that loneliness has become more common, right?
Yes.
That seems to be the claim number one. Claim number two is that there are these really dramatic claims about health impacts.
Yeah, how bad it is if you catch loneliness.
Yeah. The claim is that it's as bad as 15 cigarettes a day, or at least a widely repeated claim is.
It's just
not true.
Spoiler
alert.
When I used to work in, you know, epidemiology type research, we had these big population survey studies and things like that. And smoking would always be the thing that stuck out like a sore thumb in the data. It's just so bad to smoke. It's just obvious that it's having a really big, bad effect.
Yeah.
Nothing else comes close to that except, you know, having a massive traumatic brain injury or catching a really horrific, you know, disease that really ruins your life. It's just not something, some concept like loneliness. Well, we'll get into the details of this, won't we? Mm. But just to express my surprise as someone who has looked at data on smoking in epidemiological studies.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I found one study that said that people who smoke 20 a day live on average 13 years less than non-smokers.
You know,
that's a huge impact. You know, and obviously it depends how long you smoke, and boiling it down to these different straightforward numbers like that is really hard. But you know, we are talking smoking 15 cigarettes a day for a long period is likely to take a good chunk of years off the end of your life, possibly decades. You know, that's a reasonable thing to think. So that's claim two, that loneliness is as bad for your health as smoking possibly 15 cigarettes a day. That's claim two. So claim one, it's like loneliness has become more common. Claim two, the thing that has become much more common is incredibly bad for your health, specifically, you know, possibly as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Well, let's look at those two claims in turn.
In order. So has loneliness got worse?
Yeah, right. So is there actually something which can be metaphorically referred to as an epidemic of loneliness?
Yes. Yeah. The US Surgeon General report said that social isolation has increased and that social engagement and companionship have decreased.
Okay.
Social isolation being time spent literally alone, engagement being time spent with others, and companionship being time spent engaged with like socializing and leisure, you know, drinks at the bar, going, playing sport with your mates, that sort of stuff.
Okay. So actually physically going we'll come to this issue, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so it's based on a 2022 paper using data from the American Time Use Survey. It's hundreds of thousands of people, I think, from 2003 to 2020. And it looks at these measures of social isolation and engagement and companionship. And they do show declines. I mean, you know, fine. Like, I'm happy to agree that in the US, those numbers have gone down.
Right.
And I'm sort
that
of...
That is the engagement and companionship numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and social isolation has gone up, yes.
Sorry. And isolation goes up, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want to be too panicky here, but being on your own is not the same as being lonely.
Yeah.
In 2018, I went freelance. I started working from home full time. I spend way more time on my own now than I did then.
Yeah.
Am I more lonely?
I don't know. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually. Stuart.
This is one of the only social recording this podcast is one of the only social interactions I'm getting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like that bit. Anyway, yeah. So yes, I am. No, I don't think I am particularly. I've got I do lots of sort of. So I've got the work stuff I do through I do online.
Yeah,
you know, like chat, lots of Zoom calls and chats like that. And I see people outside of work when I need to, but I'm actually spend much less time physically in a room with another person than I would have done in 2017. Yeah. Right.
From the pandemic, as we all did, started working from home a lot more, and I probably would have considered myself to be more lonely. Like now, I work in an office.
Hmm.
And I think I'm somewhat less miserable than I was. But then there was a pandemic on as well.
Pandemic was a big confounding factor.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to, you know, pick one specific cause. But one thing that I wanted to raise was we live much more of our lives online now, and we communicate with people, you know, whether we're sending them messages, whether we're talking to them, whether we're playing Call of Duty with them, as I...
Yeah.
have been known to do in the evening.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many times, how often do you play like Warzone or Helldivers?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours spent doing that. And it's not because I think it's a good game, because it's a shit game.
Oh, right.
And it's really frustrating and it's badly made. But it's lots of my pals play it, and so it's become sort of like a, you know, you it's like hanging out.
But you'd count as socially isolated as you were doing that, because you're on your own in the room.
Like, right, if someone was measuring social isolation, then yeah, I would be alone in my, you know, goon cave listening to that.
Yeah, exactly.
For anyone who spends too much time online, don't look that up, actually, if you don't know.
No.
I was only kidding about that.
Yeah, do you feel lonely when you're like blasting some space bug's head off with your plasma cannon or whatever it is?
There's no bugs in Warzone, but yes.
But there are Helldivers, aren't there?
Helldivers, yeah. I've only played that twice, though, so I don't know really much about that. But yes, I am... No, I don't feel socially isolated at all. No. Maybe you do when you turn the computer off and you think, oh, right.
I've just been sitting on my own in a dark room.
Sitting on my own in a good cave for all the time.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. But the point is... And this is actually relevant to the debate about smartphones and social media and stuff as well, is that a lot of people who are kind of on the skeptical side of that debate, who are like skeptical of smartphones, skeptical of social media, critical of them, kind of assume or kind of downplay the positives of these things. Like people do actually, like a lot of kids do socialize a great deal on things like, you know, on social media, even if they are... outside playing with their friends a lot less. Playing video games with your friends is an activity that you can do sitting on your own, and you can actually get a great deal of enjoyment and social engagement from that. And it may not be exactly the same. It may be better or it may be worse. I don't know, but in terms of like your mental health, but it is
not nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It is actually social in a way. So just because someone's sitting looking at their phone doesn't mean they're not engaged in some intensely social activity. When I'm having some huge argument with some idiot on the internet, that's a social activity, and I'm very engaged with it. It's just that it may not be as healthful for me as you know, going for a nice walk in the park with my
with your dog,
baby, and wife.
But I mean, also, I saw a great tweet the other day saying men invented online gaming so that they could talk to their friends on the phone.
Totally true.
Absolutely
true.
Completely true.
That's exactly what I do.
It's just, and it's like. Yeah,
I wish that a lot of them weren't as unpleasant to other people who they aren't their friends, and say very rude words to them, you know, when they kill them in the game or whatever.
Do they? Just shocking behavior. Young people today. Anyway, look,
when you go on an American server, Tom, you hear some of the things you hear are unbelievable.
Really? I've seen some pretty. Anyway, my kid playing online Mario Kart or something like that, and seeing I saw some of the usernames or that. Oh dear.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even going to repeat. Anyway, we're drifting off point here. The U.S. Surgeon General. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that's not relevant. If you know these social isolation numbers have gone down, so up, and the social engagement gone down. Yeah. But I'm saying it's not the same as asking whether loneliness has got worse, and I would really like someone to ask whether it has. And the USSG report cites in support for its, you know, sort of lets that sort of hang in the air, but it sort of says only 39% of Americans felt very connected to others, which sounds bad, I guess, but like the survey it based it on, which is a Gallup and Meta poll from last year, I think, doesn't track trends over time, so I have no idea if that's better or worse than it was 5 years
number.
It's just a one-off. But it also says that when you add in fairly connected to others, it goes up to 78%. So 78% of Americans feel very or fairly connected, which I don't know, like on
that seems quite good.
Yeah, so like and like only five countries in the whole world had, I think, and they were like the Gambia, South Africa had above 50% very connected.
Okay.
So which is you know, so they were the Gambia, South Africa, Kosovo, and Iceland, and somewhere else, I think. And I don't know what that tells us
very
much.
What they've got in common, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the main thing it tells you is that survey questions about social connection mean very different things in different cultures.
Yes, different contexts.
And for the record, the UK had 85% very or fairly well connected, and 47% very. So if we care about this number, then we're pretty well connected over here, and you know, rule Britannia, I guess. And, you know, this seems to be like a common, like the Joe Cox report again into loneliness in the UK. It said in 2017 that 9 million British adults are often not always lonely, which is, again, sounds bad. But then it said itself that studies on loneliness have reached different conclusions about whether loneliness is getting worse. And also it said that researchers found relatively consistent levels of chronic loneliness among older people, with between 5 and 15% reporting that they're often always lonely. Which, again, it might be bad, but it doesn't sound like it's getting worse. No one's actually saying it's getting worse.
There's always going to be a high... there's always going to be a certain baseline of this, right? Mm. Because you'll get people whose personalities make them more prone to saying things like, I'm really lonely. Like, there are people who... Two people could have exactly the same amount of social connection, you know, exactly the same amount of social engagement with people, talk to people for the same amount of time, have the same number of people on their social media or whatever, or have the same number of people that phone them regularly, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And yet report different experiences of loneliness, right? Because of individual differences in their level of, you know, extroversion or whatever, like their actual enjoyment of spending time with other people. Like some people might really want to spend more time with others. And other people might think that that's plenty. Yeah. And that's, so there's always going to be some level of people reporting that. And the question then is whether the mean has changed over time. I think you're never going to like get rid of loneliness, because there will be some people who are always thinking, oh, I wish I had more social interactions, just because they're, you know, their kind of makeup of their brain like makes them always want to seek out more and more connection.
Yeah, or they're comparing themselves to other lot. Yeah, I don't know. There's just sort of it is very much about, yes, it's going to be different people have different experiences of these whole things. Some people will just be naturally not very good at going out into the world and seeing people, and that's just, there's going to be a subset of people for whom social interaction is difficult, and they want to do it more, but they're not very good at it, and they get it wrong, and you know, that's sort of that's just, these people.
And as you said, with the different countries and people interpreting it differently, I think different people will interpret it differently as well, and also you'll get people who have. Read the questionnaire for the first time and say, oh yeah, I guess I am like fairly socially isolated or whatever, even if they hadn't really thought about it before and it hadn't really bothered them. I think you can kind of raise the idea with people and they report something, which then, you know, because I'm sure there's some cases on which I would be considered socially isolated, like depending on what the questionnaire said, like I don't know, I don't, it's not like I go out to the pub every night or anything, or see my pals every single day or anything like that.
Yeah, or ever nice to anybody,
or spend any time in person with them. Yeah. Maybe I'm not the best. I'm actually fairly socially connected, I think. But like you know, I'm sure there are some people who, upon seeing this, would go, "Oh, surprisingly enough, I am actually quite socially isolated." But I've never really, I'm not really bothered about it before.
Yeah, But none of these things have actually asked people if they're getting lonelier. I had a look round and found a couple of papers which did seem to track whether or not people are getting lonelier. So there was one which was from about, I think, 2019, which was on older US adults. Mm-hmm. And the other one was, it was a global one on emerging adults, which I think is a sort of an annoying way of saying young people.
You know. Youths, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Not.
Well, I think what it means is people who are like...
adolescents and young adults.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like over 16 or something, maybe?
Yes, it'll be 16 to 24 or something like that, won't it? Anyway, so the latter is a 20 of 21 meta-analysis, but it does this one thing which I think is really great, which is a big page showing all the previous sort of meta-analyses into the area, including some by acquaintance of the pod, Gene Twenge. Twenge, sorry, yes.
How you pronounce that?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, including a nice... So the page just has a nice simple arrow showing what the loneliness trend that each piece of research found. And I don't know, like... I know this is Tom and Stuart describe a graph to the listeners again, but like if you go down the
table rather than a graph, it's even more difficult to
exactly explain. Yeah, just going down from the top, loneliness trend 1, no trend, 2, up, 3, down, 4, down, 5, up, 6, no trend, 7, no trend, 8, no trend, 9, no trend, 10, no trend, 11, down, 12, up. So I know it's vote counting, but to some extent, it just gives you a sense this is a very confused picture.
Well, this is kind of what I was trying to get at, that if you ask it in different countries at different times to different people, presumably using different instruments, all that stuff we talked about a couple of weeks ago about depression, about, you know, the how you actually ask the question and what the question means and, you know, all that stuff. If you have all that variation, you're going to get a wide range of different answers. And actually, the fact we have a wide range of different answers is kind of evidence that it's difficult to discern the overall trend. Like if there really was an obvious dramatic loneliness epidemic, you would see it across all these different, like, you know, it would maybe blur it a little bit if you're looking at it through different instruments and things, but you would see it. Like for instance, if you ask people in 2020, do you know anyone who's lost their sense of smell and taste and who seems to have a fever and stuff like that? And if you ask that, you know, to enough people, even if you ask it using different questionnaires and, you know, and different phrasings and,
even if you look at the reviews of aromatic candles online, reviews,
people were like, "I can't smell this aromatic candle. This is a bad product." You can see it everywhere because it's such an obvious, clear trend that, regardless of how you measure it, it's basically there. Whereas with this loneliness thing, it certainly looks from this table, from all the previous studies, that it's quite hard to discern. It doesn't mean it's not there, and it doesn't mean it's not happening in some places and not others, which would be a genuinely,
I suppose, an epidemic rather than the pandemic or something.
Right. Like if it was happening in, you know, America but not other places, that would still be a big deal. Like America's got specific issues and other countries have their own specific issues, and maybe a loneliness epidemic is a big thing in America. Like, for instance, when we talked about the smartphone thing and the suicide rate for young girls seems to be rising in America, but it's unclear whether that's the case in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. So that, I thought that was a really useful little starting point of just sort of, okay, we're starting from a point where this is actually much more confused than people realize. Yes.
The Study Show is sponsored by Works in Progress magazine. Now, Tom, this week on Twitter, I saw a tweet from Works in Progress magazine, and it was about an article that you had written.
I did. Yes, it was. They very kindly dusted it off. It was my article from 2021 about whether or not an asteroid could wipe out human civilization.
Oh, my God.
Like it might have eliminated the dinosaurs.
Could it?
The short answer is this might... I'm not. Don't want to give away the big surprise ending, but not really. It wiped out the dinosaurs because, unfortunately, the dinosaurs' space monitoring program was pretty poor.
Right.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Fire a nuclear missile or something?
Okay. So the sort of takeaway from the piece was like there are only a really big sort of asteroid, civilization killing asteroid only happens about once every million years.
Right.
Which sounds quite bad. You know, it's not disastrous, but it means there's would be a non-trivial risk. But by using sort of clever statistical techniques, we can tell roughly what percentage of the large asteroids in the solar system we have already spotted. And it's like well over 95%. The chance of there being an asteroid hitting any particular given year that we haven't seen is, I think it's like something at 1 in 20 million, you know?
Oh, that's reassuring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yes, there are ways of doing it, of sort of
like
guiding them away.
It.
Exactly. Although one of the conclusions that people came to, reading Toby Ord's book for it, he points out that if you spend too much money and effort working out how to guide asteroids, then you've got a bit of a dual purpose sort of technology there. And if someone says, you know, I can now guide asteroids, I'm going to guide an asteroid and make it hit Moscow, you know.
Right.
So maybe be a little bit cautious. And he says, like, we'll almost certainly have many, many decades to prepare for any asteroids that were big enough to be civilization threatening that we do need to hit to divert.
Okay.
So I think the long and the short of it was you don't need to worry that much. Anyway.
Okay. So but the point is, you can read that piece that Tom wrote and a whole range of other articles on scientific progress, technological progress, both in history and in the future, at worksinprogress.co, which is their website. It's all free. It's all beautifully researched, beautifully illustrated. It's a great magazine full of really interesting ideas that you can just really learn a great deal from. And we're very pleased that they sponsor the Study Show. So that's worksinprogress.co.
Yes, thank you very much. And now back to the show. So anyway, the 2021 paper itself, the meta-analysis, it seems pretty good. It's pre-registered. It makes an effort to take into account publication bias, but it says, for technical reasons that I don't fully understand about, because it's looking at changes in the mean over time, so traditional publication bias methods don't work. It uses some method to try and get around it. Mm. It uses something called the UCLA loneliness scale, which I think is fairly standard, and that sort of asks people to rate statements like, or rather it looks at papers which have used that loneliness scale, asking people to rate statements like, I have nobody to talk to, I often, sometimes, then it says, I often or sometimes or rarely or never feel like I have nobody to talk to, or, you know, I'm on my own too much.
Okay.
It finds what I can only describe as something.
Well, like, again, we're looking at a graph here. So what I can see from this graph is that from about the mid-2000s onwards, like 2006 or so onwards, the number of studies of loneliness is absolutely, you know, goes through the roof. Like, it's just so many studies of loneliness.
An epidemic of loneliness studies. Now, that would be a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it might be the, you know, searching under the lamppost thing where, you know, if you're looking, you know, you start finding stuff if you just look and, wait a minute, is this the right metaphor?
Yes, no, sort of is. Yeah, I mean, you'll be more likely to find that. Well, no, I'm not sure it is the right metaphor.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, if you start searching in a particular place, and you start putting loads of intensive activity searching on this one little place, you're going to find like fairly like random spurious results. Maybe you're going to start finding loads of stuff that you can publish. It might not be representative of, you know,
what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so what the paper does find is that, like Stuart says, there's a huge number of studies later on and very few studies pre about 2000. So it says you can't really trust the pre-2000 data very much.
That's a good point.
It says because the confidence intervals are pretty wide. But it does say, you know, there's a faint trend towards more loneliness among younger adults. And in subgroups, you can't detect it statistically significantly among European or Asian youth, but it is there among Americans. So there's something. It's small. It's gradual. The paper itself concludes the results of this meta-analysis do not support the notion that contemporary societies are facing a loneliness epidemic. Although it does say the rising trend in emerging adults loneliness should nevertheless be seen as a warning. So I mean, it's sort of saying there might be something here. There might be some small increase in loneliness among younger people, but it's certainly not something we can. It's not like the rate at which lung cancers would have gone up as smoking took off. You know, it's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing very, you know, nothing you can be really very confident about or very dramatic. The other one from 2018, the old into older people, was a big study. It was large sample size of using two big surveys, sort of cohort studies from the National Social Life, Health and Aging Project and the Health and Retirement Study.
That's a very famous study, the HRS. That's there's loads of papers and analyses that use data from the HRS. Yeah.
Yeah. And it tracked loneliness levels. Firstly, it wanted to compare like newer old people to older old people. So it looked at older people who were born 1948 to 1965, sort of boomers, baby boomers, and relative to those born 1920 to 1947, to see if there'd been an increase in loneliness among newer old people, and also whether people track generally have got lonelier in the decade 2005-2016. I mean, the short answer, found they hadn't. Newer old people, the boomers, were no more likely to think of themselves as lonely than older old people. Huh. So they hadn't got any more lonely in the decade studied. I mean, it did say there may be more lonely older people now.
But that's because there's just more old people in general.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. We've got an aging society that's just, as you would expect, the average older person appears to be no more likely to be lonely than they were a decade before.
But that's still an important thing, right? So my understanding is that the rate of dementia is decreasing or has certainly gone down. So like you're less likely as you become old, you know, if you're just becoming in the kind of real dementia risk age now, you're actually less likely to get it than you were if you had got to the dementia risk age 20 years ago.
Mainly because of smoking, probably.
Smoking, various lifestyle improvements, I assume, things like that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make anyone less worried about dementia, because we're getting loads of, like, our societies are aging, so we're getting loads more older people, and those people are going to be at risk of getting dementia. So we're going to get so even though the rate of dementia is lower, the number of cases of dementia is going to be very, very high. And so the fact that there's no difference in the rate is actually not necessarily a reassuring thing, right?
No, well, I mean, it's different things, isn't it? If you were personally worried about you know your own risk or those of other of the risk of people around you, then it isn't relevant. If you're worried about the sort of societal burden and how much it'll cost,
It depends on what NHS, you're worried about. But we should be worried about the societal burden too. And in fact, clearly the reason that I would say the reason that the US Surgeon General is worried about this is because one of his tasks from, you know, the US government is to track major health problems that are going to affect the American society and American economy in the future. So, like, it actually doesn't need to be a higher rate of loneliness for that to be a serious problem.
Perhaps
if,
not. But
if,
yeah.
Tom, loneliness does indeed cause you to have all sorts of health problems, which is what we're going to move on to next.
It is indeed. But I suppose I would say that, with that caveat noted, that there, the fact that there are more old people, I don't think that would be what people would think of as a loneliness epidemic. You know, when you say, like, if, like, yeah. you wouldn't describe it as an Alzheimer's epidemic if all you mean is actually there are more old people than there used to be. That would be.
I think probably some people would call it that, because I think the word, as we talked about at the start, I think the word epidemic is just sloppily yeah. used now. Yeah.
Okay, fair point. Yeah. All right. But so none of this is conclusive. None of this means that loneliness isn't a problem, but I'm just not convinced that we are seeing this an epidemic style great uptick in loneliness, which I think is what most people get the impression. But yeah, but you're right. Loneliness could still be really bad for you, and it could therefore still be, you know, but you could say, who cares if it's not getting worse per individual? Yeah. Smoking's still very bad, even if smoking numbers are going down, and you know that we still want to reduce smoking. And as we've just learned, loneliness is as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
15 yeah. cigarettes a day. So let's talk about that. So yes, is it actually the case, as I was saying earlier, smoking is really bad, sticks out like a sore thumb in the data, really it sticks out like a cancerous lung in the data. And sorry, that's a very unpleasant thing to say. But the point is, could something as relatively nebulous as loneliness be having such a powerful effect on your health as something as pretty concrete as like lighting up a cigarette and putting it in your mouth and inhaling the smoke?
Yeah. Thanks, by the way, to Kevin McConway, who had a brief email chat with about this stuff.
Yes.
Statistician,
yeah.
Yes, lovely chap. Anyway, this 15 cigarettes thing gets cited everywhere. Obviously, the USSG, the US Surgeon General, Joe Cox, all over the media. But, I mean, it is, as we've been stating, it is just not true. Right. So the USSG report in its defense, right, does say the mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day.
So we've got similar to.
Yeah.
And we've got up to, and by the way, we're not talking about just health in general. We're talking about mortality. We're talking about death here. Being socially disconnected, to use the phrase. Yeah. Now, that's obviously going to be, so there's the first point where you say, like, what does that actually mean? So there's going to be measurement issues there. Mm. Similar to that, so how similar are we talking? And smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day.
Yes, because note that up to is not 15. Zero cigarettes is technically up to 15 cigarettes.
Or, one. You know, yeah.
One certainly would
a cheeky tab outside the pub. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we should also, because we'll come back to this, the mortality impact of being socially disconnected. I mean, that's certainly causal sounding language, isn't it?
Totally causal. We'll come back to the causal question too.
Exactly. So, but yeah, the US Surgeon General report cites a paper by three scientists, including a woman called Julianne Holt Lundstad, who is also the lead science editor on the USSG's report. The paper that it cites is just a review, and it cites for its as its own source another Julianne Holt Lundstad paper from 2010. I think the US the Surgeon General cites the review paper rather than the 2010 paper because the 2015 one it cites actually makes the direct comparison with smoking, whereas the earlier one just looks at the odds ratio of mortality odds ratio of being lonely and finds
right, and then you have to get the information from another paper to compare it to
smoking. Exactly. So I was a bit like, why are you citing yourself? I don't know. This seems weird, but I guess that's why. So some concerns, right? This 2010 paper that the odds rate, the sort of the impact of loneliness originally comes from, it's a meta-analysis. It looks at 148 studies. Which found a mortality odds ratio of 1.5 overall, whether or not for loneliness, for lonely or for social.
But for what?
Well, exactly.
Like what, one standard deviation difference in loneliness or something?
It's an odds ratio. So you're more 1.5 times as likely to die in a given year.
Than if you're
lonely than if you're not.
But how do you measure that?
Well, there's 148 different studies measuring various.
But that's my big question. Like, are we actually treating this as a binary variable? Like, you're lonely or you're not? Isn't that a crazy way to measure it?
Yeah, exactly. And
surely people are. Surely loneliness is on a continuous scale where you can be very, very lonely, a wee bit lonely, not so lonely, or not lonely at all. It's not a one-off thing. An on-off thing.
No, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a very obvious and problematic with thing there. But also, like, that's an odds ratio of 1.5. But the up to 15 cigarettes thing is an odds ratio of 1.91. So that's a bit of a disconnect.
So cigarettes are worse, actually.
Cigarettes are worse, actually.
Even compared to this stupid thing, which doesn't even make sense, the binary loneliness variable.
And it turns out that's because, and again, thanks to Kevin McConway for pointing this out to me, because I would not have spotted it. The US Surgeon General's report and the 2017 or whatever it was, their sort of review paper that cites this 2010 paper, it used as its way of measuring loneliness a particular measure called complex measures of social integration. God knows what that means. But the only 30 of the 148 studies looked at that. And that was by far the strongest overall association between mortality and a loneliness.
So they picked, sorry.
Yeah, they picked the most extreme measure they could find out of presumably dozens of different.
Unbelievable.
Measures. Yeah. So it's just, it's pure cherry picking, right? It's absolutely cherry picking, right?
Yeah.
There's what's even a bit, like, frankly, weirder than this. There's a later Holt Lundstad meta-analytic review from 2015. So the 2010 paper, which was the original meta-analysis, there's a 2017 one review paper which cites it, but then there's a 2015 meta-analytic review which is different somehow. And that found mortality odds ratios for between 1.26 and 1.31, I think, for variously social isolation, loneliness, and living alone. So that's not 1.5, it's not 1.9, it's much lower, right? The 2017 paper and thus the Surgeon General's report both cite the earlier and more dramatic finding,
right?
Which, and also the cherry picked version of the earlier and more dramatic finding. So that's not ideal.
I mean,
So then there's Kevin McConway pointed out these two big systematic reviews from 2023. They both found roughly similar odds ratios to that later Holt Lundstad paper. So odds ratio is about 1.3. Mm-hmm. So the headlines, if you ever saw them, of loneliness as bad as 15 cigarettes a day, that's just wrong. It's just not true. Okay, that's there's straightforwardly not true. The finding was that at one stage a paper found that loneliness was as associated with mortality as smoking fewer than 15 but more than zero cigarettes. Okay, somewhere between zero and 15 cigarettes. But that was, firstly, it was enormously cherry-picked.
Yes.
The odds ratio of 1.9 felt more like 1.5 if you looked at all the studies rather than just these cherry-picked ones.
Yeah.
And two, it's long since been superseded by other better research anyway, which all finds about what...
The other research has lower effect sizes.
Yeah, about 1.3 odds ratio. So you're about 30% more likely to die in a given year if you are lonely than if you are not. Now... Okay. Depending on like how you judge it, that if you want to make the smoking comparison, the mortality odds ratio of smoking something like 1.4 cigarettes, 1 to 4 cigarettes a day is about 1.3. So this is not the equivalent of smoking 50 cigarettes. It's equivalent to smoking something like 1 to 4 cigarettes a day.
But the bigger question to me is, do you want to compare it to smoking cigarettes?
No.
Is it even sensible to compare, as we're saying, something nebulous like loneliness to something concrete like smoking? Does that even make sense? Especially when it's not like you've gone in, these meta-analyses are not like you've gone in and done a randomized controlled trial where you've made people lonely and then checked the effect on their life. Now,
how would you do the placebo control?
That is their correlational, their observational studies.
Yeah,
and the big problem there is confounding. So there could be all sorts of other reasons why people who are lonely are less socially engaged.
Well, yeah.
Potentially, the health problems cause them to become lonely, not the loneliness causing them to have health problems.
Well, exactly. So smoking correlates with really bad outcomes because it causes them.
Well, right? I was going to say, let's be fair. Yeah. We haven't done any randomized controlled trials of smoking either. There's trials of smoking cessation, I suppose, which certainly would help out with that. It's not like we've handed out cigarettes to people and got them to smoke them. In it, you know, but there's so much evidence pointing towards the causal effect of smoking.
Yes, exactly.
From animal studies, from toxicology research, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, there's good solid theory. We know we have a really solid mechanism, like theoretical mechanism for how smoking could interfere with your DNA copying and cause cell damage and these things, which then lead to your cells.
And that's just one of the mechanisms. Like, there's all sorts of mechanisms, isn't there? That smoking just does all these horrible things.
Yeah. And probably there is some correlation. I mean, you would imagine that people who smoke are also likely to do other risky things as well. So there probably is some confounding going on
there too. Yeah.
Probably they drink more than the rest of us. And maybe they drive. Yeah. Nonetheless, most of the, we can be very, very confident because there is good theoretical reasons to believe it. And there is vast oceans of correlational data and toxicology and all these other things to show that smoking directly causes the bad outcomes.
Yes.
By
the way, it's also consistent. Like, basically every single study you do, it's there. Like, there's all sorts of different, even if we don't have like a straight up randomized controlled trial, there's lots of consistent evidence that smoking is causal to a large extent. I don't think any of that evidence exists for loneliness.
No. I mean, for example, we just talked about the mechanism for smoking causing cancer. People who are lonely also have higher mortality odds ratios for cancer, specifically among, you know, the various other. And I don't imagine that anyone's claiming that feeling lonely causes mutations in the cell. I don't know what's your imagined mechanism there. What's the thinking here?
Well, I instantly think that it's reverse causation. Yeah. I instantly think that people who get a cancer diagnosis become really worried. They withdraw from their social groups. They maybe don't go out as much because they don't feel so well, and so then they start to feel a bit more isolated. Like, that seems much more plausible to me.
Of course,
than the actual psychological experience of being lonely causes you to grow a tumor.
Yeah, or there's third factor causality.
Or indeed, there's a third thing that causes both of these things, like
poverty or substance
abuse. You're living
it.
Yeah, exactly. You're living somewhere really bad. You're working in a environment that causes, you know, that exposes you to dangerous chemicals or something, and that's, you know, makes you unhealthy in all sorts of ways, and so it stops you from going out as much, and also it causes you to get cancer. Like, the causal arrow beginning at loneliness and going out to other stuff just seems much less plausible than all those other explanations.
I mean, I'm not going to rule it out, right? I could imagine you to be, like, you know, if he gives you sort of causes you to take less exercise or drink more, or, you know, maybe you're just sort of smoking alone in the house, or maybe there's some hand wavy, you know, he just gave up on life type psychosomatic stuff, which is sort of people think of when they, but I don't know, I can't sort of rule it out.
But the fact
that
we're having this conversation compared to the quality of the evidence that we have for smoking causing cancer and causing death, the fact that we're even having this discussion means that we don't have a good theory for why loneliness would cause you to have these health problems, and we don't have good evidence for that theory. And so making this comparison constantly, like, I think loneliness is really bad. Like, it's really horrible if you feel lonely and you feel socially isolated. And I'm sure social isolation is, you know, it ruins people's lives in all sorts of ways. But I don't see why we have to make this comparison to cigarettes. It's become a cliche. It's become this thing that you just say because you want to emphasize the fact that this thing is really bad, and you want to surprise people. Like, you want them to say, "Oh my god, I had no idea it was as bad as this thing that we all agree is really bad." I just find that really, counterproductive.
Well, exactly that, and it leads you into this difficult situation where people like us who want to say, "Look, actually, like, there's just no evidence this is as bad as smoking." It's kind of a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like we are, you know, because we are rigidly demanding that people actually say true things rather than false ones. It sounds like
we're terrible people for that.
Yeah, exactly. We're downplaying the loneliness epidemic, which also isn't an epidemic. Okay, we are downplaying it.
We're not downplaying the badness of being
lonely.
The badness
of being lonely, which sounds awful.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've all been lonely and it is miserable. Like, it is a miserable thing.
Yeah.
But you don't have to say it's giving you cancer. It is okay to say things are bad that don't then give you cancer. To be fair to Julianne Holt-Lundstad, who's the sort of
the psychologist was a big part of the studies that made these claims.
She does say in her 2015 paper that she warns people not to do this, the causal analysis, the causal claim. We caution scholars perusing the expanding research literature on the association of social isolation and loneliness with physical health against reliance on unadjusted data, because those data fail to account for participant health status, a factor contributing to reverse causality.
Reverse causality, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So she's sensible enough.
She's aware of it. And yeah, she was the, she editor of the US Surgeon's General Report, which then went out into the world and set and spread the 15 cigarettes a day thing to millions
and
of people.
Mortality impact, which is absolutely, you know, it's absolutely the causal language that So she does it herself. The US Surgeon General paper does it. Every single newspaper report does it without batting an eyelid. It's just not causal in this, or it's just not the evidence to think that it's causal, and lots of reasons to think that the causation, the arrow of causation, points at least partly in other directions, and it just seems baffling to me that this keeps sticking around.
Yeah, yeah. So I think actually, you know, if you think about all the things we've covered in this episode, it's actually quite a little microcosm of all the kind of studies show stuff that we've lots of it that we've covered. So like, claims that are repeated over and over again without any evidence, causality versus correlation issues, scientists saying stuff in papers that they probably shouldn't, extrapolating time trends when you've got actually lots of contradictory evidence if you zoom out and look at all the evidence as a whole, and probably loads of other stuff too. Oh, measurement, like how do you measure this? So it's actually loads of like bad science things that get wrapped into this.
Yeah, rolling loads of different things into a meta-analysis that might not be that comparable.
The problem of meta-analysis, which we covered a few episodes ago. So it's actually a nice little teachable example of where all this research, which, by the way, I'm sure is by well-meaning people who want to alleviate loneliness and make people healthier. I don't think they're, getting paid by big...
big loneliness.
Yeah, I don't even know what it would be like that would cause them to
be like pubs or something.
Yeah. Big physical venue. Yeah. I think it's very well meaning, but I do think there's lots of examples of bad science creeping in to this. So I had a final question then. Why is it that people are so obsessed with this particular issue? You know, again, well meaning people, researchers. I see charities talking about this, like. There's a charity that we used to get funding from our aging research, Age UK, which is used to be called Help the Aged. They've got a big campaign about loneliness and all this sort of stuff. Like, why is it that people are so obsessed with this?
So after this is pure speculation, right? It's just me speculating. Yeah. But I think it's sort of tied up with a general in my day feeling, you know, like in my day, we only lived to the age of 42 and we all... we all lived 13 people in a room, but we were hanging out with our families, and now we're all scattered all, you know, we only see our kids only see their grandparents over Zoom, and we don't ever.
Things are different now.
Things are different now. We don't hang out in person as much as we used to. And that feels bad in some way.
Yes.
So, and that feel, you know, it's all that sort of social, like the social atomization is the phrase people use. I'm not saying it isn't real, and there isn't some reduction in how much time we spend with each other, and some people that would be bad for, and probably there are negative health consequences for some people in some sense, but I think it's a bit of a sort of the world has changed a lot, and this feels like a plausibly bad outcome out of it. And I just sort of, you know, when you don't like how the world has changed, you want to say, and therefore it has these negative health consequences.
Science has shown that it's bad.
But that's pure speculation by me.
I wouldn't be able to come up with a better explanation than that. So that's it for the loneliness epidemic. So thanks very much for listening. Remember that if you want to become a subscriber, you can go to www.thestudieshowpod.com and you can become non-lonely by listening to us talking for hours about topics.
You can have a parasocial relationship with us.
Yes, exactly. And if you become a paid subscriber, you can leave us comments, send us messages, all sorts of things like that. You can actually have
it's
a
almost
a genuinely
as good as having
social.
A friend.
Just like having friends.
I gather.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
No, of course not.
Tom, thank you very much indeed for that. That was very interesting. And
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for everyone for listening. We'll see you again.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.